Open your Bibles, please, to 2 Chronicles chapter 5. 2 Chronicles chapter 5, verse 11. 2 Chronicles chapter 5, verse 11. I didn't really get the response I wanted this morning by preaching about hell, so I think I'll try to flip over and... Not exactly, but we'll get close tonight. Amen. I thank the Lord. I just give God the glory that He helped me this morning to preach the word that I felt like that I needed to preach, that the Lord wanted me to preach. It's not every Sunday you hear a message on hell, and nor should you hear a message on hell every Sunday. But every once in a while, God just kind of laid it on my heart, and I hope that I did the best I could. I asked Brother Craig later and trying to get some feedback or so and trying to figure out if I had done everything that I could have done this morning to share the word and to said everything that I needed to say and everything. And I feel like I have a peace that God did and instructed in everything that needed to be said this morning. Amen. There again, we can rejoice because we're not headed to hell. Amen. But we've changed tracks. We're going in the right direction. At least I pray that's what we're doing tonight. Amen. There again, 2 Chronicles chapter 5, verse 11. I want to preach tonight on the subject, hallelujah in the house. Hallelujah in the house. Amen. 2 Chronicles chapter 5, verse 11. If you have it, can you say amen? And it came to pass when the priests were come out of the holy place, for all the priests were present, were sanctified, and did not wait by course. Also the Levites, which were the singers, of all of them of Asaph, and of Heman, and of Jeduthun, with their sons and their brethren, being arrayed in white linen, having cymbals and psalteries and harps, and stood at the east end of the altar, and with them 120 priests. That sounds interesting. It's a nice round number, 120. 120 priests sounding with trumpets. It came even to pass as the trumpeters and the singers were as one to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their cymbals and their voices with the trumpets and cymbals and the instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, "For He is good, and for His mercy endureth forever." That's the only line they got out when they started that worship service that night or that day. That was the only line they got out. Can I tell you that? But can I tell you this? He says this, "For He is good, and the mercy is endureth forever." Then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord, so that the priest could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. Do you believe it tonight? The glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. Our Heavenly Father, we just pray right now that this text would be fulfilled in our hearing right now, Lord Jesus. That Your glory, God, would step into this place and fill this house with Your glory. God, not just a portion of it, not just the preacher, not just the deacons, but fill the entire house with the glory of God, we pray. In Jesus, oh God, we ask You for Your anointing to preach this word, oh God. We give You the glory right now and the honor and the praise. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. And the house said, amen. Hallelujah in the house. I believe it's about time for some hallelujahs in the house. Amen. I believe it's time for some worship to take place in the house of God. I made the statement one time and I'll make it again. And that is the fact that I think on the holiness issue, we have seemed like we have perfected that to a degree. We have perfected and we have declared how holy we are and how much we stand for holiness. But can I tell you, we need to also stand for Pentecost. And the Pentecostal power, and the Pentecostal worship, and the Pentecostal way. Bless God, there ought to be some hallelujah in the house tonight. There ought to be some worship and giving God the glory and the honor and the praise tonight. Because He's worthy tonight. He's worthy of all the praise and the glory. Did He not bring you from a mighty long way? Did He not carry you on His wings as of an eagle? Did He not bring you out of the miry pit and set you on the rock to say you ought to praise the Lord because of what He's done for you? It is interesting to me when you break the word apart, hallelujah. The first part of the word is the word hallel. It simply means in the Hebrew language to shine. To shine. To show forth a shining and a glory. It means to shine. It also means simply the word praise. Now you understand what the word Yah means because it is at the beginning of the word Yahweh. It is just an abbreviated term for God. So you have hallelujah. What you have is praise the Lord. Well, every time you say hallelujah, you're saying praise the Lord. Thank God tonight that I can praise Him. I'm not ashamed to praise Him. I'm not afraid to praise Him. But I thank God tonight I can praise Him and give Him glory for what He's done. I knew I had some work to do this morning, but I think I've even got a difficult job even tonight. Amen. Can I tell you, we ought to be able to praise the Lord and to give Him all the glory that He is worthy of. Here is the story. Here is Solomon, and he is bringing in the artifacts. He is transferring them from the tabernacle of David to the temple of Solomon. In other words, he is taking the symbolic representation of the glory of God, and He is placing them in a permanent foundation and residence. I thank God that the Spirit of God doesn't come like He used to come in the Old Testament, where He came upon Elijah and then He left, and He came upon Isaiah and then He left. No, the Bible talks about the fact that when the Pentecost came, He Himself, the power of the Holy Ghost, came down to stay. And here is the thing that is permanent in our lives. And here is Solomon. And he is building. And the last thing they put in the temple was the Ark of the Presence of the Living God. Because you see, they put in the altar of incense, and that was prayer. And they put in the candlesticks, and that was light and holiness. They put in the table of shewbread, which was the symbolic representation of communion, the blood or the wine and the bread, the blood and the body. But can I tell you the last thing they put in? Because see, you can talk about how holy you are all you want to, and you can talk about how righteous you are and how dignified you are. But can I tell you, you ain't got it all until you've got the glory of God in the midst of your life. I believe we used to call this a full gospel thing. Bless God. And we want the glory of God to dwell in the midst of our lives. I want it all. I don't want anything. Bless God. Jesus God to give everything to us tonight. He brings in the glory of God. And when the glory of God, and they begin to sing, for the Lord is good. And His mercy. And I don't know what key it was in. I don't know if it was in 4 flats, 2 flats, 3 flats. Well, I don't know. I don't know if it was 4/4 time, 3/4 time. I can't tell you what kind of time it was in. All I know is I began to sing, for the Lord, He is good, and His mercy endureth forever. And a praise began to break out.
a shout began to break out. And when the praise broke out, the Bible says that the glory of the Lord fell down in the midst of the camp. Now pay attention to the text and the context of what we're talking about here, because you will notice about praise, and that is the fact that praise came from sanctified, cleansed believers. Verse 11, for they were all the priests, and they were present, and they were sanctified. They were cleansed. How many of you understand what your Bible says in 1 Peter, that you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy people, that you should what? You should show forth the praise of Him who sent you and called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Now, I don't have a problem with sanctification. I don't have a problem with sanctification. What I have a problem with is, bless God, all you ever hear seems like out of we preachers and people is in sanctification. It's you can't do this, and you can't do that, and you can't do, and don't look, you can't do that. No, don't do that, and don't do this. And there's a certain element that I can understand, just a little bit of that. But I wish somebody would get up and preach on sanctification and say there are some things you can do. You can worship God. You can give Him glory. You can shout unto God. You can live a holy life. Bless God, there are some things you can do. There are some things that you can do. You can be out in the world and still live for Jesus. You can be out in the world and at the Walmart and still be saved and be served of God. You can go to some places. Now, I ain't about to go every place. But there are some places you might be able to go that are a dark place in the world. But bless God, you can go and be a light in a dark place. I never understood people that had a flashlight in the hair and wanted to hide. Do it anyway. It's a lot of mine. I know that it's time. Hello? I don't know your what? Hello? No, I'm going to let shine. I never understood why people who got the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ, why they want to hide it within the four walls of this church. Let's probably ought to go out and shine the story. Lord, and tell the light. All you got to do is go to a dark place and sign the facts off. And so, you know what? Let me show you a man that told me a thing. That's all you gotta do. Is shine the light of the glory of God inside of your life. I bless up, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I know there are some folk that what we call false inclusive. Save my closet, save my box. I don't want to be divided. I'm undercover. I don't want to be divided to know who I am. I don't want anybody to understand who I represent. And can I tell you, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the cause of Christ. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. If I've got the key, if I've got the cure, I'll be able to share it and go everywhere I go. It may look a little crazy and strange, but bless God, I know where I'm heading. I know where I belong. I know that I'm on in Jesus Christ. And we all need to tell they were sanctified. They were sanctified. Now this is a bothersome book. But this kind of place, I have to put up a sermon on worship. Because this isn't talking about worship. This is talking about praise. This is a bothersome book. Because the first thing that some folks are going to say, it's not in my personality. It's not in my personality to shout to the the idols and give God the glory. It's not in my personality that I am dignified. Now, mind you, when they go home, they will mind the other than their wife, but I never seen the nonsense in people. 20,000-30,000 people will go to a ball game and will shout. I'm talking about this, okay. I'm talking about holler until their voice sounds about as bad or as not worse or as not, and yet they will work, they will holler and shout over a man carrying a dead pig down the aisle, down the walkway, if you will. Can I tell you, I've got more reason to shout about than what he's got, because I know that Jesus took my sin and to go down there. I've got reason to shout. It is surrounded by rejoicing and exuberant praise. Thank God, Al. And this is the best. I love people. I'm in trouble. I love people who say, this God is the only thing that needs to be in the church is the piano. And the old.
Jesus, why?
says, the Bible says this, because there are many forms of praise. Number one, there is a form of praise called lifting up your hands. Psalms, I believe it's chapter 47, says, I will lift up my hands in thy name. And not because I felt like it, not because of somebody told me to do it, not because of just something that I'm going to do out of ritual or habit, or not because that I thank God for saying this song. God bless the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord who stand in my life in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hand, but not just because the song says, but because he's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. When I lift up my hands in praise and worship, I'm so rude to God. And I'm having a problem. Because too many of us, we don't want to surrender nothing. We won't raise our hands. In fact, I believe there are some places I've been in, some places I've preached in. I believe that people came in church holding up their arms just to say, I'm going to see if the preacher can move me tonight. I believe there are some folks that's all they come to church for, is to see if they can get moved by the preacher. But can I tell you, if the Holy Ghost can't move you, I ain't gonna move you. If the Spirit of the living God ain't gonna move you, I can't move you and do nothing with you. And no one mess with you either. If the Holy Ghost of heaven moves, that's why I thank God that he's given me the liberty to lift up my hands unto the Lord. Number two. There is a passage in the Bible. It's in Psalm 167, maybe in 62, somewhere in there, that says, clap your hands, O ye people. That's got to make somebody nervous now. Clap your hands. Is there anything into this clapping hands stuff? Is there anything in it that says, I believe you, but there's one passage in the Bible that says, clap your hands at the commands of the Lord. Can I tell you, when you ought to shout when you hear the word. Somebody, I know it's a message over here this morning, but somebody should have said, thank you, Pastor, for telling a message about hell. Thank you that I'm not going there. Thank you, Lord God, for the ways that you show me. Thank God. Every time something hits your spirit, it hits your body, it hits your soul, God, I tell you, you want to worship God and give him all the glory and the honor and the praise that you can. Well, what is there to come in your hands? Can I tell you, it's just everything that's with it. That's what the book said. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. And what? Oh! That is within. Bless his holy. Well, and it ain't just the fact, Miss Allison, you always do that. And it ain't just the fact of clapping at the right notes you sang. It is the fact that clapping that there is going to come a day when the lion and the lamb shall be there. When the King of all glory shall step out on the cloud, and he shall come back to receive his own. There is not come a day when God himself is going to wipe away every tear from our mind. You are shining and give more glory. And to the coming day! Let me tell you a little more worship and praise. Why? The Bible says in Ecclesiastes that there is a time to weep. I believe I've got that on the time. If we got to be a long time, then we won't weep about it. If we've got a cat, it's almost too warm. We want to weep about it. We got that down pat. But let's not read the rest of the story. He says there's a time to weep and a time to laugh.
That's how the book said that laughter, it does good like a medicine. In fact, in one place in Proverbs, it says that laughter, even laughs have a cheerful countenance. I'm in trouble, but I'm going to do it anyway. I can't understand why folks want to come into a house of God. Didn't have to bring not one sacrifice, not drink not one piece of blood, not come in here and have to say one hour, and they'll come in, whoa.
In your Sunday school hour, you need to pray for me. Because honey and I'm up. And they're not that off.
I don't understand why people that have not had to bring not one sacrifice, because Jesus said, let's go to the book of Hebrews, said it about Christ. He came here and made the one sacrifice for all. The book said, I know we had a song out of that, but the book said, I will enter his gates with thanksgiving.
But we ought to come in to the house of God, bad offer everything, moment and everything. We ought to come in and praise the Lord. Some people are scared. I don't know what you're scared of. Some people are scared of smiling. They think they're going to scare somebody. Listen, can I tell you, let's all, we ought to rejoice and give God glory. It ought to be a happy confidence in this place. I'm tired of gloom and doom preaching and gloom and doom living. I serve in the news and the gospel. Let's go.
Victorious if I'm doing something, son, if I'm living on the victorious side, and if I know heaven is my home, and Jesus is my rock, and he's my salvation, and he's my, I'll be able to get a shout and hallelujah, and rejoice over what he does.
Same Shekinah, by the way, Shekinah means in prophet.
next opportunity to turn it. And listen, you brought it into your life. You brought it, you come, oh, y'all people. You brought him with you tonight. You brought him with you. Whether you feel like it or not, you brought him with you. Because as a priest, it is my duty to carry the glory of God. I brought him with me tonight. And when they brought him into and sat him down, they start singing, for the Lord He is good, and His mercy endureth forever. I don't know if there were any more verses to the song, but that's all they God, can I relate it this way? It had been if they had brought the glory of God, and they started singing Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound. And all of a sudden they had to stop at the sound of grace coming in through the door. Because the glory of God busted into the place and showed up in a mighty way. And the Bible says, what a cloud of glory. Filled the place where they were. I live in the upper room. But there was a cloud of glory that filled where they were. And the Bible says that the priest and they could not stand. There are times when, on Sunday morning, my God, I wish I hadn't listened. But there are times when someone that you will be worshiping, and I'm getting ready to get behind the pulpit, and I'm going to work on their life. And there are times, though, that after a song is sung, that prayer. Yes. And if you ever notice me step back from the pulpit, which I have done on many occasions while praise is breaking forth, it is because I recognize and realize that the Holy Ghost has made a divine appearance. I'm like, Lord, have your way in this place. I learned a little while ago, I ain't got nothing to prove to nobody. I don't need to prove to you how well I can preach. I don't have to prove to nothing how well I can preach. If the Holy Ghost wants to have His way, I'll let somebody let Him have His way. To have His way in this place, we need to recognize Him. Can't get on something to children at the same time. Now, this is your children, okay? And you think that they don't pay attention or they don't listen or nothing. But Hughes was talking about the church, and she was talking about what they liked about the church. And what they dislike about the church. And one of you, I think it was about three of them, the children. So don't get mad with me, you have the children. And your grandchildren. About three of the children said, I wish that they would quit talking while they're trying to pray. I mean, I'm sorry, I didn't even think anybody had it. That's your children and grandchildren. I wish, that was not what they said, right? I wish they would quit talking when Brother Stacy and them are trying to pray. Because we need to come into this house with, I'm not talking about sad Saturday, we need to come into this house with a reverence for God. This is why. This is why it frustrates me when people are trying to pray around the altar. somebody sit beside you and bless God. You're going to go out mother today. You're going to go out there. You're going to tell them about what you're going to do throughout the week. My God, people are trying to pray through. When somebody was trying to pray through in the old, some of you remember that. Some of you got some light and some silver on top of your head that you remember that. But when it used to be when people were trying to pray through, there would be 100 people gathered around helping them pray through.
Come on, stand up.